Okay, that's my portal workshop, and now I'm going to take questions, and I'm bringing in an assistant of mine, Desta Barnaby, who actually helped me with the book on portals. We did a book called Portals, UFOs and Portals at Mount Shasta, and I have behind me Mount Shasta. That's where we have what are called Zendras, and we'll get into that with the questions with Desta. So welcome, Desta, and thank you for all the work you do. And what kind of questions have we got on portals here?
Thanks, Grant. Hello. First question, I guess, since you brought up Zendras as well, is briefly describe for everyone what exactly a portal means to you and a Zendra.
Okay. The portal thing has been used, and a lot of times I remember you and I were in Toronto, and there was people, we were at the table signing books, and these two women came up and said, "I got a portal in my garden." I went, "You got a portal?" It's the first time I'd heard that. "You got a portal in your garden?" And then she said, "Yeah, I got a portal in my garden." I said, "Can I come see it?" And I was like, it just sort of blew me away that people are talking about these natural portals. So that's not what we write about in the book. So people will talk about these natural portals that are in certain areas of the world or whatever. And the ones that we're talking about is the way I came across it was when I started looking at things like I was looking at the government and high-level government officials and stuff like that. I was looking at people like Hal Puthoff and Ron Pandolfi and all these people and the work they were working on. I know Hal Puthoff had a put out a thing where he said, "Anybody who's got a free energy device, send it to me," or stuff like that. And he said it was like a graveyard, like there was really nothing in terms of anti-gravity stuff or free energy stuff. And then, but the thing was, every time I looked at the portal thing, it was like there was something to it. It was like, man, this looks like there may actually be something. And I'll give you the one example with the with Tyler D, where Tyler D comes to me and basically shows me these photographs of this building in LA, this Hughes Aircraft Building. And it's years later, I'm wondering, like, why would he show me these photographs of the Hughes Aircraft Building where they supposedly had the jump room? And I'm going, I wonder if he believes the jump room actually, why would he show me these photographs? So it was that that led me down the portal road. And I was trying to figure out what's the deal? Is there actually a portal? Does the government actually have a portal? This it seemed very strange. In terms of the portals, because everybody talked about these natural ones, which I really wasn't interested. I wanted to see if anybody had one where they actually built the thing and they knew how it worked. And so we started working on that. And then you know that you and I went to Mount Shasta, and that's where we got the message from Ann Terrell. And we were going to have Kevin Elber, who was connected to the CIA, was going to come because he said he'd been through a portal. They'd let him go through this portal. And so he wanted to come and see the one at Mount Shasta. Now, the thing with Mount Shasta, and this gets into the belief system, do we create our own belief systems, is that the Zendra thing is exclusively Mission Rama. Now, Mission Rama started in 1974 by Charles and Sixto La Paz Wells, and they developed this sort of thing. And from time to time, and people got upset with me because they say, "Oh, you're hyping this thing. It doesn't happen all the time." And people want their money back, and you're promising them portals and stuff like that. So from time to time, people like guys like Ricardo Gonzalez, Enrique Villanueva, Sixto La Paz, people who are sort of long-term meditators, which may be part of the pattern, who have done this their whole life, are able from time to time when they have these events where people all sit there and they meditate and they om, and what they're doing is they're raising their vibration, and then this Zendra thing opens. So it's not really a portal, because a portal always seems to be like vertical, and the portal, the Zendras, which is what they call them, are horizontal. So you remember our friend Paula Harris was in one, and she describes this bluish white smoke fog stuff coming off the ground, and that she's with these other women and they're told to hold hands. They're told to go through the fog and the smoke and not to let go until you're through the smoke and let go. And she said, "It was the hardest thing I ever to do was let go of these people's hands beside me." So the Zendras are completely different, but the Mission Rama are the only ones that talk about Zendras. There's nobody else in the world just talking about these Zendra things, which tends to indicate that the belief system is part of it. So the Latinos have a certain type of portal that's opening. The white people have a certain type of portal that are opening. Then you have these natural people who have these ones in their garden, that there's these different types of portals. So I was very interested in the government portal, and I was extremely interested in the Mount Shasta, especially when we were going across the desert. We're heading for Reno, and then your cell phone rings and it says, "Oh, Ann Terrell is on, says we're coming and he knows I'm coming." And then I thought, wow, I may get to go through a portal. I was thinking, oh, he's going to open one of these things. I'm going to get to see an alien. We're going to go through. And that didn't happen. We had this bizarre thing happen over our heads, but it wasn't that. So the Zendra thing is pretty predictable, that they can do it. And it seems to be the same sort of description all the time. And there's descriptions of like 110 people, the one in Uruguay, 2009, 110 people went through, and they have different experiences. Like when Paula was in hers, she had the one where all the seven people, so they take seven people in at a time for whatever reason. It's like this religious thing. They have these different rules and regulations. You raise the vibration, the portal opens. And what the idea is that you raise your vibration, and then the beings lower their vibration, the portal opens, and you meet in halfway and inside this sort of a lit up area. And so when we were there, we wanted to experience this, and we didn't. But the seven people that go in, when Paula went in 2014 and 2015, 2014, she described this very bizarre thing where everybody was having a different experience. Everybody was getting different messages. She was hearing this guy talk some foreign language or whatever. Some other woman was getting another experiences from her life. So it was very individualistic. But I think the Mission Rama is extremely important, because when you start looking at these things, it's very common. And you get these very bizarre things where they'll talk about things where they go through the Zendra, and it's only like 6 inches across. And he goes in, like Sixto Paz went into one, and they said nine people saw him disappear into it. Then the Zendra disappears. And then 9 hours later, the Zendra reopens. And almost like Travis Walton, Sixto Paz comes out, and he's got 5 day growth of beard on, and he was on the planet Ganymede. Now that's when you start to wonder, is this a multidimensional thing, an interdimensional thing? Because Ganymede is like 300 below or whatever it is. It's it can't be anybody on Ganymede. So they talk about this sort of stuff, but there's no doubt, you and I have done enough study on these Zendras that we know this stuff is actually happening, that because we know Ricardo, we know Enrique, and when they're telling us these stories that these things happen, and there's seven witnesses at a time. So it's not one person experiences this. When we were there, I know you were there when I was filming. So when Paula said she was in there, she said, oh, all the rest of the people that were in the Zendra were here. I said, they were? Can we go interview them? And then you went from person to person, and these were Latino people who are like gardeners, house cleaners. These were just ordinary people who ran. As soon as they saw me coming with the camera, they didn't want to be part of it. And if it hadn't been for Paula, I would never have got those interviews. And we said, what do you see? And then they would say, I saw this 10-foot guy. He was standing there, sparks coming off his chest, and he had this long hair, and he looked very stern, and he looked like a swimmer. He was all muscular. And then go to the next person, what do you see? Oh, he's this 10-foot guy. He had sparks coming off his chest. He looked very muscular, had this tight thing on. And you go, wow. And you go from person to, and they were all describing exactly the same thing. So these, there's a bunch of these different things. There's the Zendra ones, which are more like spiritual encounters. And then there's the ones that you hear about with the government, that the government may have these portals that they have. And so I watch them all, because it has to do with this idea that it's an anomaly. And if it's an anomaly, it means we've got something wrong. And if you understand how the portal works, you start to understand how reality works and what we can learn from this idea of what is real reality. How does it work? If they can do it, we can do it. They're proving to us that something that we're making assumptions that are wrong. And they're showing us that there's more to the world than just a physical, random, meaningless universe.
Good. Well, I have questions about every single thing you kind of brought up there. So let's start with originally in the book, you mentioned that the government specifically were working on a portal. And yeah. One of them in particular had his family were said to have been going through the portal. So do you think this is still something that the government is interested in and working on, or possibly has the technology of?
Absolutely, because what you see, and I pointed this out a couple of times, is that everybody talks about the ATIP program. Nobody talks about the OSAP program or what it was. If you just understand what the OSAP program was, with the government $22 million funding that was written about the New York Times, what you see is the OSAP program was the main program. The ATIP program was only a small UFO program inside the big program. What the program was about was not UFOs, as much as the New York Times wrote it up. It was about Skinwalker Ranch. because the guy who ran the ATIP program had gone with Reed and wanted to get on the ranch. And he had gone on the ranch. He got permission. Bigelow took him to the ranch, and the head of the ATIP program saw this infinity sign made out of metal that only he could see. And this thing was floating around, and he became sold on the fact that this is, because there was all these stories about mostly about apports and manifestations and about portals opening up and things coming out of portals and stuff. And of course, being the Defense Intelligence Agency, the head guy said, wow, would we love to be able to do this. If you remember the story that the port stuff, the woman would come home and she'd have all the groceries. She put them on the counter, put all the groceries away, go in the next room and come back in, and the groceries are all back in the bag. Or the big one where the guy, all this stuff was disappearing and reappearing and stuff. And he went, I hope they don't fool with my bulls. He had these four prize bulls. He goes racing out of the house and looks in the corral and the bulls are gone. And he's going, what's going on here? And then he looks over and there's this locked trailer. And then he just, in his mind, he goes, I wonder if they're in the locked trailer. And he opens the trailer, takes the lock off, and these four bulls are squished in, you know, like sardines in this trailer. So when you're in the Defense Intelligence Agency, they look at this and they go, wow, would we love to be able to do this? If we could go through metal. And you see the briefing that was given to Congress when they scared the living daylights out of Congress, they turn it around and they say, oh, these evil aliens, they've got the ability to go inside metal, to get on the other side of metal. And they go all that stuff that was in Skinwalker Ranch and say, this is all a threat. Opening portals, things coming in, being able to make things disappear, reappear, go through metal, all this kind of stuff. And that's where they got the whole idea of funding it. So that's where the funding was, to try to back engineer all that weird stuff that was going on at Skinwalker Ranch. So that's the key thing to remember, is that it was all about this manifestation, and it really didn't have much to do with UFOs.
So that kind of leads into this question too. So we kind of talked about how in the last couple of years, there's been so many new TV shows and movies and stuff that all have the portals and stargates and this kind of thing in them. So do you think that this could be possible, some kind of soft disclosure that the CIA or the government in some way is trying to push through to get people aware or used to the idea of what portals are?
I absolutely believe that, because you have situations where you heard that the Close Encounters of the Third Kind was actually the Holloman Air Force Base story. It was given, he had the film and he went with that. And that's the way you do it. So you go into Hollywood and you put it in so that it's not confrontational and you're subliminally being taught this sort of stuff. And the example of the portal is prime, because I was, as you know, I had a couple of offers to do go into Hollywood and host shows. They wanted me to do one on the Avery, and this was coming indirectly through from Ron Pandolfi, and they wanted this stuff out there. So last year there was this event that happened at Mount Shasta, where there's nine people levitated in the field, and there's a 200 beings or hundreds of beings, etheric beings there. And they're like in a Zendra, because they sound like they're underwater and stuff like that. So when we first went there, you and I, Kevin Alber was going to come there, but you know what happened is that Paula and others said, don't bring the CIA to Zendra. No, don't bring them to Mount Shasta. And they were very upset. Like, Grant's going to bring the CIA here. And they didn't want this kind of stuff. But Kevin was just interested because he had been in there. So when this event happened at Shasta last year with Adama, this alien by Adama, then I went to Kevin. And at that time, we were going to do like a deal. We had interviewed three of the nine witnesses, and they had described this whole thing about being levitated and what was happening, and time and space stopped, and all these beings are there and stuff like that. So I went back to Kevin Alber and I said, hey, Kevin, just had a big event happen at Mount Shasta. I said, and I told him basically what happened. I said, don't you think it's time you talked about the portal? Because there was always this story that Ron had been hinting that there was this portal. And everybody says, well, Ron's a disinformation guy. But what I got, and it was this video of Ron on the cruise ship going through the Panama Canal, where he says, everybody always wonders what it's like to go in the next world. Next time John, his friend that was in university with, goes to the desert, a number of us here are going to go in the next world and come back again. So I got that on the camera, and I knew that Ron was, there was this indication that maybe they had it, and that Kevin kept talking about it. And so I said, okay, Kevin, isn't it time that you talked about the portal? And he said, yeah, I'll make you a deal. I'll do the portal. You get the Latino witnesses from Mexico and do a TV show. I said, fantastic. I'll do it. I'll get the people. And then suddenly I realized that my link to the Mexican people, you need a translator. And the person who was in the middle was Katarina, and she had dealt with the Pandolfis. And she said, if they're involved, I'm not involved. And the whole thing fell apart. I guess she must have told them, and they wouldn't talk to us after that. It was like this fear of what's going to happen. But at that point, Kevin was ready to go on camera and tell us what the portal was about. And it indicated they knew something, and they kept pushing it. And I kept wondering, if it's disinformation, why does he keep, because he wasn't pushing it directly. He would have a thing on a site where nobody ever posted, and it would just be rhymes and riddles. And I would know what he's talking about, but nobody else would know what it was about. And it was like, what are they doing? And so then I came to this conclusion that, yeah, I think they may have, especially when you had things like where they go to, I think it's Costa Rica or Puerto Rico, where John Sillison, this other guy, comes and he gets this actuator out of there. And then they go on camera and Ryan Pandolfi's wife is on there. And she says, John, we got a question for you. Are these actuators theirs or ours? And are they ours? And he goes, no. And then she doesn't hear it. And then they get him to repeat, and no, they're not ours. And he's basically confirming on video that, yeah, he has this actuator and it wasn't made by us. And they open these things. So I'm extremely interested when you start to see all this sort of stuff. And we may not figure it out. We may not get it. I was even in contact with Dan Smith just recently in the last couple of weeks. And I went through this whole thing again, and he confirmed again, yeah, this idea of the portal is still out there. And to me, it's extremely important, the portal, because it goes into this whole thing about how does reality work, that it may all be here, it all may be now, that they aren't coming from anywhere. They're popping in and they're popping out, and it may all be in this one spot in the universe. There is no time and space. There's no past and future, that sort of stuff. And the portal thing rips apart the idea that they're coming here, flying through space, past the speed of sound on big, giant flying saucers or motherships and stuff like that.
So going along with that, then too, when we were in Shasta and Kevin Elver was going to bring us somewhere in the mountains.
Yeah.
I can't remember where in California to see a natural portal. I guess the question then is, so do you think that the beings, so of course in the Zendras, the beings or the aliens are the ones that are helping actually manifest these portals to be able to communicate with us. So if there is these natural portals that even people like this Kevin Elver knows about that are in the forest, then, and you're saying about the actuator and they're trying to, weren't something about the story, they were trying to deliver it to Trump a couple of years ago.
Moving, the one off the coast of Georgia, they're moving up to New York City and they implied it was Trump. Yeah.
So do you think that the beings are even responsible for making these natural portals? And is the government then looking at these natural portals, since Kevin knew where one randomly was in the middle of the forest in California? And are they somehow getting information or trying to back engineer or copy it or something? Like, what is the link between the natural ones and the aliens and these man-made ones?
Well, that's what I'd like to see. So if anybody's watching the broadcast and they've got a natural portal, Desta and I would love to go through one. I really don't know, because the thing that I got the impression very definitely was the fact, and I think even Ron Pandolfi's wife talked about this, that you just don't go through. You need permission from the other side to get through. That they you can't just walk through the portal and come back out. They actually allow you in. And it's almost like a cleansing thing, that unless you're ready to go through and you're in the right state, you're not getting through. So that's the difference between these two portals. But I have never had, I've had lots of people talk about them, but I've never seen one of these natural portals where I could actually evaluate it. I hear all these stories and then I say, take me to it. And then I never get to see it. So the natural portals seem to indicate that there may not be a gatekeeper on the other side, or maybe the people find it because they're open to it and they're spiritually ready to go or whatever. I'm not sure. That's part of the story I've never followed, is the natural portal end. But the other one, just the more I look at it, the more it seemed like there was. And the same thing happens, I guess, with the Zendras, that the Zendras aren't opened. And remember, there was events, you've probably been at events, the Mission Rama events, where I think you were one in Crestone, where Ricardo comes down and says, they're not coming tonight. the people weren't ready. And it's this whole idea that you've got to raise the vibration. So that's why I was sort of upset. Like sometimes when you go to these Mission Rama events, there's people with lasers and it's like, this is the idea. You're supposed to meditate. You're supposed to do you play the game. I mean, if it works, you know, maybe you think it doesn't work, but people are out there to entertainment. They're looking for sky watching or whatever, instead of getting this meditation, this oming thing, which is the idea, the same as we did in contact modalities, where you have drumming or dancing, where you're trying to raise it, or in seances, what they do is they sing. And you're supposed to be very jovial because they were sitting there trying to meditate. If you remember the Toronto experiment where they're trying to meditate for a whole year and nothing happens. And then the one time someone says, well, let's sing. And they're singing the drunken sailor thing and they're all singing and suddenly, boom, this being appears on the table. And then they start making, and that's this idea of vibration, that everything is vibration and you raise the vibration. So I'm not sure, hopefully someone will come to us with this broadcast and give us a natural portal but I'm sure the government is watching it. That's what people don't realize. Everybody thinks, oh, the government's these evil guys and they've got all this stuff or whatever. People don't realize the government has nothing. The intelligence has nothing. They've got to watch the people who are having the experiences. That's where they get the intelligence from. So if you're like Chris Bledsoe and you have a very high level of contact, you can bet that they're going to have his phone tapped. They're going to have everything. They're going to be figuring out how does he do this. And if you are talking about portals, they're going to want to know, just as they offered to come to Mount Shasta. I'm sure Ron said to Kevin Elber, go and find out what's going on. We've never heard about these portals before, and go in there and take notes and find out what's going to happen because they're trying to figure it out. And that's the whole thing. I think Ron had even said at one point, because we cannot control the phenomena, we resort to watching who the phenomena affects. And that's where we're so important in the fact that you're on the leading edge. So if you're psychic or whatever, they're going to try to tap in. They're going to try to figure out what you're doing. And because they're trying to figure it out as well. And the intelligence isn't talking to them. So what choice have they got but to tap your phone? Or even I had the thing with the experiencer where remember Betty Andreasen had all this high level contact, but her husband was saying, oh, they're watching me. They're the government. They're watching me. And then he would do things and he knew they're on the computer and he's filing these things with the government and stuff like that. And I said, let me ask you a question. Did Betty ever get downloads or plans how the flying saucer? Oh yeah, they're in her book. She's got all these things. And I said, well, are you surprised they're watching you? Come on, they're trying to figure it out as well. So if you got this material, it's same as the Canadian government. When Wilbur Smith died, he told his wife, he said, they're going to come for my files. And she said, sure enough, as soon as Wilbur died, they came, the Americans came, the Russians came, and the Canadians came, all looking for the files for research purposes. And she said, I destroyed the files. She'd actually sent them to her son's house. And then she said, that's when the break-in started. And you could tell they were looking for something. They didn't steal anything. The house was being broken into, but they didn't get anything. They were looking for the files. So that's the thing is, I think the government is working on this feverishly. Or even if you get Kit Green comes to John Burroughs. And this is what sort of disturbs me about right now. There's this sort of discussion about the whole, what does the government know? And they haven't gotten into even the UFO community. There was a program, according to Politico, according to the national security guy from Politico, he said the government had run a program, Defense Department had run a program on interdimensional travel, that they may be here now, just in a different here and now. And nobody picked up on that. Everybody's just worried about, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm going like, this is actually described. I described it in the lecture where Kit Green comes to John, to Peniston, and Peniston says, what are you doing? I want to know what you're doing. Why do you need my DNA? Why do you need my fMRI? And he says, well, it's about propulsion. He said, come on, baloney. You think I'm stupid? What do you mean propulsion? That's not propulsion. And he said, well, maybe I'm using the wrong word. We're trying to find out, how is this move interdimensionally? How does this thing pop in and pop out just as easily? And that's the whole thing. So they're looking, there was 8 people financed by the Defense Department, headed by Kit Green. And there was program was being run by Bob Bigelow, and nobody's picked up on that the government actually worked on this interdimensional portal thing, and that there was a program and it's been admitted to, and everybody's scrambling around all this other stuff because they're interested in technology and they're interested in threat and stuff like that. And they're missing the whole point that there was this program on interdimensional, which changes the whole thing. If they're interdimensional, good luck trying to shoot them down. I disagree with Stephen Greer, where he says, oh, they're shooting these things down. you ain't shooting anything down, man. There's no way they're shooting this stuff down. I mean, it's pop in, pop out, or even with people have UFO settings, they'll say, oh, I had a UFO setting. And I say, hey, so what was it doing? And they go, it wasn't doing anything. It was just there and then it disappeared. And it's popping in, it's popping out. And that's where it starts to change the whole environment. That's why portals are important to study, and why we need to understand that it's not the physical world people think it is, where you have Linda Howe, we have the one with Linda Howe with the cat coming out of the portal, Ron Johnson saying the beings came out of the portal, there's 20 aliens on the other side of the portal, and they came in, you see this over and over again, and it means something. These people are not lying, they're describing something that if we can understand, we're gonna understand not so much technology, but the fact that there are other levels of reality. And then when you die, it's not the end of the world, that you may end up in one of these other levels of reality, that we are being interacted by something that is not as physical as we are. And it's trying to tell us the world is not as physical as you think it is. It has these interdimensional, multidimensional, vibrational differences, and it's a different world than what you think it is.
Good. So you mentioned about Sixto Paz Wells was in the portal at one time. I think that was in Peru, one of his times when he went in Peru, and came back out, of course, only, you know, momentarily after in our reality, but he came back with a 6 days worth or whatever it was, a beard growth. So what do you, so that obviously has something to do with time not being the same on this side as it is on that side. So what do you, what's your explanation? What do you think was happening in that situation?
Yeah, well, that's where time comes down. We're going to do an interview. You and I are doing an interview this coming Tuesday with Chase, and Chase had the DMT experiment. That's where you start looking at all this stuff is connected. And he's done these, he's an AI specialist, and he's fascinated in DMT because he's had these experiences, because he's a very busy guy and you can't do the psilocybin. He's doing the business guy thing, the 15 minute DMT thing. But he describes this experience that we'll talk to him about on Tuesday, where he says, I lived all these different, what is it, thousands of different aspects of this life, almost like different timelines. And I lived them all thousands of these timelines, all in 5 minutes. And that's where you see, when you see the DMT thing, you'll see these people will say, I was over there for 2,500 years. I planted this forest on the side of a mountain, and the forest grew up and stuff like that. Or the guy on the Spirit Molecule documentary, he said, 10 minutes? How long has I gone? And the guy says, 10 minutes. 10 minutes? 1,000 years I was gone. And that's the thing. When you get into these altered states, you realize all the bets are off. Time means nothing, that you can be gone for 10 minutes. And Chase, and you know Chase, I know Chase, this guy ain't making it up. And when I heard him say that, or he crosses over to another modality where he says, I had an absolute classic abduction experience. I said, really? I've heard about these. 25% of DMT people have the abduction experience. So people always wonder about abductions. Are abductions really happening? Or is this an altered state? And this seems to indicate it may be an altered state, because if you're doing DMT and you're on a table with aliens and you're being explored, this is not, you're not being abducted. This is something else is going on. You're lying on a couch 10 minutes into this experience. And so I said to him, I said, well, what were they doing? And he said, well, they were working on my head. You hear this all the time. They opened up my head. They were putting an implant in my head. I could see their arms, but I couldn't see the beings. But he said it was classic abduction experience. And that's when you see this crossover, that when you get into these altered states of reality, whether it's DMT, whether it's portals and stuff like that, all the time disappears. Same as the Zendras. That's the first thing they described. These 9 witnesses, they said, time and space just seemed to stop. It was just really weird. We didn't know. I said, how long did it last? They said, we have no idea. It could have been a couple of hours, they said. They had no idea how long the thing had lasted. And that's what we're making these assumptions. There's time, there's space, there's physical, there's all this kind of stuff. And what I was told in my download experience is, you ain't got a clue. Everything you've got is, everything is not only wrong, it's exactly the opposite. You're just arrogant and ignorant, and you think you know how it goes. You have no idea how this thing works. And that seems to be the answer, is that the more you look at it, I think you would agree, the more you look at it, the more you question, the more complex it gets. It just gets weirder, almost like David Bohm talked about in quantum physics. And he was into this thing about the implicate order, that everything's in the implicate order in this altered state. And it just comes in here, it pops in here, but you can't really touch the implicate order. And he said at one point, they were on the thing about quantum physics. He says, you know, when they figure out quantum physics, when they figure out all the rules of quantum physics, there's just another level below that. And they all went, no, there isn't. And I think that's true. It's just another level, another level, another level. And, it, and the more you look at it, the weirder it gets, the more complex it gets. And we're just ego driven. We think we've got it all figured out. And for time being, we can make technology whatever, almost like we did with quantum physics. We didn't look at the philosophical implications of quantum physics, but we did have a lot of technology that was developed from it. So that's all we're doing. We're in this material world, and they just ignore all the important stuff and build technology. But the warning we're getting from the experiencers is this idea that, or like Emily Trim, who's from Hamilton, the one of the aerial school kids, that's what she had. She was getting the download at the aerial school, and she was getting the technological downloads, this rapid image, these rim images that are used. It's a contact modality that the Bengtson method uses. These images are popping into her head at a rate of, I don't know, 100 a second into her head. And they were all technological images. And the last one was this giant sort of explosion. And she said, well, it doesn't really mean the world's going to end. But what they said to her is, you have technology, but you could do better. And this idea that we could actually wipe ourselves out with technology or environmentally. And that's where we got to tap in, that people that are in the field, people have these experiences, are bringing back important lessons. If we stop long enough to listen to them and try to figure out what exactly is happening.
Thanks, Grant. We only have 1 to 2 minutes left. So is there anything maybe you can say that's new about portals that you've heard about since you've written the book and done these lectures?
Well, I think I've learned that it's more serious in terms of their research, especially this thing with the program, this defense program that seems to have been admitted. And I can't believe why nobody's sort of picking up, especially when it was in Politico. The guy from Politico actually had it in his article. And that would, if you, instead of going after the idea, because what we're doing now is we're going to do the same old thing. It's like, we need money to study UFOs. And they're going to give them a pile of money and they're going to go, okay, how many green ones are there? How many red ones are there? How many fast ones, slow ones? And we're going to start in 1947 again. And if you've had an experience, I've had experience, it's like, give it up already. They exist. Let's get beyond that and let's get to the next stage. Why are they here? And what's this interdimensional aspect? That's where we got to go, instead of again going back to this idea of nuts and bolts, that there's a pattern and we can pick up the pattern, and the these color mean this and this color means that. The important stuff is the weird stuff that the experiencers are reporting. Loss of time, matrix reality, portals. That's the kind of stuff where you start to realize there is a spiritual aspect to that. And that's why I always conclude when I say to people, whatever I've learned in 46 years, I know this for a fact. Whatever this phenomenon is that we're dealing with is way less physical than you think it is. It's way more spiritual than people think it is, which is really going to annoy some people. As I said, it's the secular scientists that are going to be scrambling and fighting over the cyanide pills. The spiritual thing is really going to upset people. And it is at least 1,000 times more complex than people think it is. And in the end, the other thing that will annoy people is I think it does not have a hint of capitalism. None. This is all about oneness. This is all about people being connected, being conscious. It's all one thing. So that's my summation. It's less physical, more spiritual, 1,000 times more complex. And it is this hive mentality. It's this idea that we're all working together as cells in the body. We're all trying to make the universe into a bigger, better, more magnificent place. We're all to work together. And when we don't work together, it's like, the cells all deciding they're going to do their own thing, and the cancer breaks out and the body dies. We have to work together. That is the oneness is 54% of all experiencers. Oneness is the ultimate message. We have to realize we're all one. We're all the same thing. There is no separation.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.